Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Great to see everybody here today. So glad you could make it in for our services. The first Sunday after Christmas that we celebrate together today. And we are blessed to be gathered and blessed by our Lord who has come into the world, born in Bethlehem, lived his life for us on our behalf, and was crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, and then gloriously rose from the grave. And achieved life, eternal life for us as well. And he gives those things to us through his word and his sacraments. And we're so blessed to be gathered around his word this morning, still celebrating Christmas, right? Because Christmas keeps going in the liturgical calendar. It's not just one event, it's a season. And so we joyously continue to celebrate the birth of our Lord. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for joining us that way. And we want to begin our service this morning with our opening hymn, and that's hymn 379, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we do invite the congregation to please stand if you're able on the last verse of that hymn this morning. Let's sing together, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Oh, my God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with our responsive introit from Isaiah 9 and Psalm 98. To us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God.
Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today, this first Sunday of Christmas, comes from Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. Begin in verse 7 of that text. I will recount, the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel that he has granted them, according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the children forward at this time for our children's sermon. You guys want to come up? Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody?
Good.
Oh, you got your stuffed puppy, don't you? Yep. He's looking good. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Did you guys have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you got all the things you wanted. That'd be really cool. And? No. 43. Is that what you said? 43 things is a long list, yeah. Oh my. Yes, Joseph. Today is your birthday. Oh my goodness. Today is Joseph's birthday. He invited you to his party? Oh, whoa. Very cool. That is a good thing to think about.
It's my family.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
It's my family in January.
Okay. That is great. I got a question for you guys. How many of you guys have ever found yourself, even during the Christmas holiday, kind of bored? Do you know what it's like to be bored?
Merry Christmas.
What?
Merry Grinchmas.
Merry Grinchmas, is that what you said? Merry Christmas. Look, have you ever been bored before, Joseph?
What?
Do you know what it means to be bored?
Oh, well,
it could mean that. In the right situation. But when you're bored, what does your mind do?
Nothing.
Nothing. And that's why it's so terrible, huh? You're sitting there like, oh, I'm so bored right now. I'm so bored. Is that what you were doing? Yeah? Well, when you're bored, this is the really cool thing about our text that we just read from Isaiah. It gives us some cool things to do when our mind's just kind of at ease and at idle. It says this, I will remember or recount the love of the Lord. So when your mind's not busy with something, you can sit there and say, I remember all the ways that God loves me. One of the ways you can remember that God loves you is remember some of your Christmas presents. Because remember, we talked about that. Those came from who?
Santa.
But from who really?
Santa.
One more time.
Santa.
Who gives you all your gifts? But who made sure that those presents could ever be made or created?
God.
There you go. Yeah. God gives us our gifts, right? So we can remember his love by remembering the gifts. We can do all these things that Isaiah is telling us. We can remember his goodness. We can remember his love for us, his compassion. Yeah. So he gives us great things to think about even when we're bored, huh? And it's such a wonderful thing that God loves us that much.
Mm.
Well, God gives you great blessings there too. Okay, let's fold our hands, bow our heads, close our eyes. Repeat after me, guys. Ready? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your steadfast love. Help us remember that you give us all good things. Bless us today. Protect us. And go with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back and sit down now. I saw you, yeah. Our epistle lesson for this morning from Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in a place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth. That was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day together? Hymn number 389. Let all together praise our God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I guess it's one of the biggest questions that looms in the minds of believers and seems to be around sort of bothering us quite often. And that is the question that came up in my mind as I was reading and studying the text for today. And that is, how in the world could God allow the tragedy that we read about? I mean, I don't know about you, maybe when we just hear it sort of read through one time, it just kind of goes over or around or however it does. But if you stop and think about what Jeremiah prophesied and what happened in Bethlehem and the surrounding regions, as Herod just turned full force against small children. It's a tragedy on the pages of the gospel reading, a tragedy. And I want to be super clear about this, that the text does not raise the question that came into my mind and maybe comes into your mind too when we see tragedy even in the world or on the pages of the Bible's text that we read today. The scriptures do not bring this question up. And yet, because of our sinful nature, the question often comes up in our minds. In the text, it seems even that God goes to extra lengths to protect Jesus and Mary and Joseph. But what about all the other children that pay the price? I couldn't help but have that thought as I read through the text. It's tragic. And we have to see that in God's work in sparing Jesus, it didn't mean that he also too wasn't going to be slain. But not then. And why not then? Because in bringing Jesus and Joseph and Mary into Nazareth and fulfilling the other things that were written by the prophets that we read about after that, the Lord was working to save even those slain by Herod's sword. He was going about saving them. And so the question that could come into our minds when we see tragedy like that, and we can say, why would God? This morning I want to talk about the why question just a little bit. We talk about it often here at Trinity. We say, when that question comes up, why would God allow? The best answer to that question is this. Wrong question. Wrong question. It's not the right question when it's posed. And not because it's wrong in a vacuum, but because we're asking the question to God. God Almighty, the one who has always been and always will be, the one who made everything. When we see tragedy in our lives or in the world around us, that question often comes up, doesn't it? Why? I want to encourage you this morning in your Christian faith to pay attention when that question shows up and be very critical of it. Why, Lord? Why? The Apostle Paul will give us some direction in the scriptures when it comes to questions like these that are asked of God. We find that direction in the book of Romans in the 9th chapter. I want to share just two verses with you from chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, where the Apostle writes these words to those kinds of questions. He says, "Who are you, O man?" I like to also say, "O woman." "Who are you to answer back to God?" To talk back, I like to say. Because that's what I remember, right? You don't talk back. Well, he asks, "Who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, 'Why have you made me like this?' Has not the potter right over the clay?" But what I find within myself, having, of course, a sinful nature too, is that I can't help it. My brain just goes there, and I bet yours does too. We want to know why, and we want to know it bad enough that we'll gladly talk back to God. And some, this sort of thing has led them down paths of utter destruction. Paths with one destination, and it's not pretty. Because I'm sure you're aware of this, but sometimes it helps to be reminded, none of us are going to get out of this alive. If you know what I mean. We're all going to have to face it. They use the fact that they don't have a good answer to their incredibly pompous question of Almighty God, why, as some sort of pathetic justification to say, well, see, God's not really involved, you know. If he'd tell me why, maybe I'd believe in him, but he doesn't, so, and they go on about their sin-hungry lives. It's not some ridiculous proof. It's the fact that we're not really thinking about what we're asking at all when we ask that question. So I want to do that for just a few minutes with you this morning on the first Sunday after Christmas. Because here's my question. I want to ask myself and all of you, why do you need to know why? What are you going to do with that information, say it was given to you? I mean, I want to really consider that, and I have been. Because, like I said, same boat, right? We're all in. Why do we need that information? And if we were given it, so I want to pretend with you for a second, if you'll pretend with me here. Let's pretend that God says, okay, here's why. It just brings up another question. Can you handle that information? Do you even know how to deal with it? Do you have enough knowledge of the universe and how everything works that even if he did ask the question why, answer your question of why, that you'd even know how to understand that? Or would it simply just lead us down a path of then having to ask him more questions and get more information so that we could even understand the answer to the question that we asked in the first place? That's probably what would happen. And we'd have to have infinite knowledge, divine knowledge, to even understand the amazing ways that God works in the world and what he allows and doesn't allow. It's challenging. And the interesting point of that is, let's say that he did continue, we're pretending, remember, he discontinued to give us information and give us information and give us information so that we could understand the answer to our question of why. Notice the trajectory we're on there. The trajectory we're on there is that we're headed in a direction to finally possessing all the knowledge of who? Of God. Notice that's the end of the beginning question, why, Lord? That's the end. It's us actually, oh, we're back in Genesis and the temptation in the garden when the temptation was what? To eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Satan said with his slithering voice, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And that's the trajectory we're on when we look around the world with our finite minds and say, why, God, why? The truth is, our desperation for answers is quite revealing about us and what we're really up to when we're asking those kinds of questions of the Lord God Almighty. And there's another thing about this question, why, that we have to say. The question, why, Lord, puts us in the wrong position with God. Because all of a sudden, we are dragging him what? Into our tiny little court? Are we going to question what he's doing? Are we going to question what takes place? What he allows, as we so often put it, are we going to draw that into question? Are we now the judge and he's now on trial? Well, that's exactly what sin does, my friends. That sin that we inherited, it twists things all around backwards. Yeah, he's actually the judge and we're actually the ones on trial, so to speak. It's a mess. So what do we do? See, now you get to look into my brain a little bit as I'm sorting through this stuff. What do we do? How can we get this right? How can we have the right perspective among us? And this is what I think the best perspective is, and I want to share with you this morning that when we're on that trajectory, if we find ourselves there, and again, don't hear me wrong, this is encouragement, okay? Because I know this stuff comes up, and these questions are sometimes big, and especially in a tragedy. Okay, it's hard to sort this stuff out. So this is an encouragement, but I think it helps put things back the way they're supposed to be and gives us the comfort of not having to be God over the whole universe, well, especially even over our own lives, right? To have a God is a blessed relief, right? So I think this is where the scriptures will lead us. If we're asking that question, if that's coming up, hear what God says to somebody in the Bible who was willing to ask that question, certainly for our benefit. His name, maybe you can guess it this morning, his name was Job. Job. Here's what God says to Job in regards to questions like the why, Lord. Verse 2 of Job's book says this: Who is it that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? I know it's convicting me too. Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me, God says to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth from the womb? And when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no farther, and here your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began? And cause the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanses of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And where is the place of darkness, that you may take it to its territory and that you may discern the paths to its home? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Some sarcasm in verse 21 there, isn't there? Sounds like it. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Have you seen the storehouses of the hail? Which I reserve for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. What is the way to the place where the light is distributed, or where the east wind is scattered upon the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the torrents of rain, and a way for the thunderbolt, to bring rain on a land where no man is, and on the desert in which there's no man, to satisfy the waste and desolate land, and make the ground sprout with grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb did ice come forth? And who's given birth to the frost of heaven? The waters become hard like snow, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind up the chains of Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Maseroth in their season? Can you guide the bear with its children? Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you establish their rule on earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts of man, or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clouds stick fast together? Can you hunt prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in the thicket? Who provides the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God for help and wonder about for lack of food? Do you know when the mountain goats calve or give birth? Do you observe the calving of the does? Can you number the months that they fulfill? And do you know the time when they give birth, when they crouch, bring forth their offspring, and deliver their young? Their young ones become strong, they grow up in the open, they go out and do not return to them. Who has let the wild donkey go free? Who has loosed the bonds of the swift donkey? To whom I have given arid plain for his home and the salt land for his dwelling place. He scorns the tumult of the city. He hears the shouts of the driver. He ranges the mountains as his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Is the wild ox willing to serve you? He will spend the night at your manger? Can you bind him in the furrows with ropes, or in the harrow with valleys after you? Will you depend on him because of his great strength? Will you leave him to your labor? Do you have faith in him that he'll return your gain and gather it into your threshing floor? Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like a locust, his majestic snorting? Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars and spreads his wings towards the south? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high on the rock he dwells and makes his home on the rocky crag and stronghold? And the Lord said to Job, shall, I love this, I think it's so good for me and for all of us. Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? That's what we're being when we do that, fault finders with God. I read the whole thing on purpose, right? Because it makes a really powerful point. I love what Job says. When he hears all that, he says there in chapter 40, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth, he says. I've spoken once, I will not answer. Twice, but I will proceed no further. The question is, will we proceed further? We've spoken too. What God allows is such a weighty and hard thing to talk about, friends. Because God does remain in control of everything that happens. That is true. However, he is not guilty of evil. And those two realities have to exist all the time. Those two truths, they're the ones the Bible gives us. God is not guilty of sin. However, he remains in control. And we say, how is that possible? Well, precisely the point. It's above us how that's possible. We can't reason it out and come up with the perfect answer because we're created and he's creator. And as soon as you flip that around, well, sin likes to do that, then we end up in a problem. A big, big problem where we're all of a sudden, you know, have this idea that we can say, hey, God, explain yourself to me. No. That's the point of the reading from Job. And we might sit here this morning and think, this is a heavy thing to think about, and it is. But it's a worthwhile thing. And you know why? This is what I think the gospel is in all of this. That when we hear this, we understand that there is a God who loves us. He cares for us. He's going to provide for us. It's His promise. And we wake up every morning and we think, oh, if I got to get out of this bed and go about a day and just walk right into the middle of chaos where there's no point and no purpose in the universe, yuck, I'll just stay in bed, thanks. But when I get to get out of bed in the morning and I know that there's a God who loves me and that no matter what comes from His hand that day, it's going to be for my benefit, even if I can't see how it's possible in the whole universe that it is. That's the promise. Romans 8. All things work to the good of those who believe and are called according to His purpose. We literally have a God who's in control. And that means relief. Whatever He gives us from His hand. And He's going to go with us, whether those are joys or whether those are sorrows. I mean, if you came into church this morning expecting to drink the milk of the word, this text is handing us a steak, and so get the knife out and let's have some meat here, right? We have a God who's in control, and He loves us. Those are also both true. And so we can be assured that what He brings to us, He is going to use for our good, no matter what. That's His promise. I mean, I don't know about you, but going through a troubling or a difficult situation, I would much rather be in that difficult situation more like the 23rd Psalm. And lo, as I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. I would rather not be in a situation where I understand a tragedy or a difficult situation to be completely godless and just some random act of chaos. Sounds more like hell. But to know that God will lead us even through the troubling times, and that He will only and always use the situations that this world might present to us for our good. Thus saith the Lord God. Like I said, it's meat from the Word. But it's true. He wasn't avoiding death by fleeing to Egypt. He was embracing it, but He was embracing it for everyone. And He did. He went through what had to be dealt with for you and for me. He went to the cross because He knew that our old nature that we still carry around, He knew that thing would raise itself up in pride and say, "Why, Lord, explain Yourself to me." He knew it. And so He went to the cross and He suffered the slain and He resurrected. And He brings to us today His beautiful and wonderful forgiveness for the times that we've been pompous and spoken against God. But He also leads us to this place where He warns us to pay attention to ourselves and to understand that when those things come up in our minds, they're not to be trusted. God is to be trusted. He's the King of heaven and earth. And He will, according to His perfect word, provide all that you need in this life and in the life to come. And we can trust that every day. And we can look in those situations that are challenging and that we don't know what to do. And we're starting to wonder, what's going on here? Why? We can see that He has a purpose even in those, friends. That's what it means to be in the family of God, to be a child of God. And He will bring us through. That's the 23rd Psalm. Comfort, because He's with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We invite the congregation to please stand now as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we are the people of your promise, to whom you have revealed your Son as Savior and Redeemer. Lord, bless your church that we may enjoy your good and faithful gifts in word and sacrament. Prosper your word among us, Lord, and strengthen us in the faith that you've given us, to trust in you through every step of life, to hear your promise that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, and you're always there. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you give us the gift of one another. Renew our fellowship as the body of Christ. Grant all things beneficial, Lord, for husbands and wives, for the single, for those who desire marriage. Lord, for the lonely, who yearn to know the comfort of friends and family. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected your praise. Silence the enemy. Turn the hearts of all who, like Herod, would despise children or destroy them for selfish gain. Show your forgiveness to those who are penitent. Give your comfort to all women who mourn the loss of infants and fix their eyes on Jesus, who for a time was spared but has shed his blood for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you appoint leaders and give the responsibility of authority. Protect our nation and its leaders. Grant them wisdom in their pursuit of justice. Bring your gift of peace in the world and give relief to those who suffer oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Lord, you are the great physician. Grant healing in accordance with your will for the sick and those who suffer. Especially we name before you, Lord, those who are in the prayers of our church, the family of Don Hermanson, the family of Doug Messick, Dick Greitz, and the family of Ed Wiseman, Wendy Vest, Brian Haas and family, Marcus and family, Teresa O'Haver, Cheryl O'Dowd, Carly Moore, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Autopolic, Frank and Audra Rendon, Larry Reinberger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, give strength to those who we've brought before you today. Strengthen those also who care for them. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, in Holy Communion, you unite the body, you unite our body to the body and blood of your Son. Enable us to receive this sacrament with faith and be strengthened by it. And bring soon, O Lord, unity of faith and doctrine, so that all divisions may cease and we may be fully one at the altar before you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you alone deliver true joy. Grant your Holy Spirit to increase and sustain us in this joy and thanksgiving throughout these days of the Christmas season, until that day when at last Christ returns in his glory as the judge of all. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, O Lord, for we are the people of your promise and the children you have redeemed through the salvation accomplished through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you've got an insert in your bulletin about our school students, we'll have to put that off to another Sunday. We were going to do that here, but we just didn't have enough families come to the service today to not just make, we'll spare the boys today having to just do it by themselves. So we'll continue on to our time of offering. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, let's join together in singing hymn 374, Gentle Mary Laid Her Child.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KS is PK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ukraine's President Zelensky.